This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio number 1304. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave broadcasting. On this edition, recorded February 8th, death of another beloved broadcaster. Slovakian shortwave saved. More on Algeria, Libyan clandestine and jamming. And on dismantling Voice of America, especially in English. Mexican and Brazilian shortwavers reactivated. And the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer. Keith Glover passed away Friday, February 3rd. In his long career with the ABC, Keith distinguished himself as a broadcaster and especially as a Radio Australia presenter. His career began with ABC in Queensland in 1947. Upon moving to Melbourne, Keith worked with Radio Australia for many years. He was a consummate communicator and, as a presenter of the Listener's Mailbag, became an interactive broadcaster well before the term was popularized. He received a number of awards for international broadcasting. His voice was also well known on home service radio, presenting a wide range of programs including news, sports, Anzac Day marches, and royal tours. He was seen regularly on ABV Channel 2 and presented a ballroom dancing program for a number of years. In the latter stages of his career, Keith moved into management, supervising RA's English language programming, and finally a supervisor of radio presentation in Victoria. Keith Glover retired from the ABC in 1985. This news about the passing of Keith Glover first came to us from a posting on the Aus Radio Broadcast Group by someone named Harold, sent on to us by Mike Terry. This led to many tributes to Keith Glover. I said, his warm voice made many friends for Australia. We remember him fondly from our earliest shortwave listening days in the late 50s and early 60s. Andy Sennett said, I never met him, but my boss, Jens Frost, spoke warmly of Keith Glover. He was a good friend to shortwave listeners around the world, helped to give Radio Australia its special informal style. In those days, Radio Australia was a worldwide broadcaster. Also on the Media Network blog, Jonathan Marks said, Keith Glover did his show with passion. They even sent out airmail letters to tell you in advance when you were going to be called on the airwaves of Radio Australia. Those were indeed the days when distance had magic. Here's yet another story about the sad state of shortwave radio in Papua New Guinea. It came from the Post Courier of February 2nd via BBC Monitoring. Vandalism silences provincial radio Morobe. They've threatened to take legal action against settlers, or squatters, on the outskirts of Leh, Papua New Guinea's second city, over continued vandalism of transmitters. The shortwave service has been shut down as a result. The latest incident, January 30th, a 400-meter transmission cable was removed. This is not the first time such vandalism of properties has taken place, said Provincial Director Henry Tamarus. I have no choice but to take court action against the settlers living illegally on NBC land. We don't know when the service will be back. We have to look for funds to purchase new cables, costing about $6,500 US. These stories never bother to mention the frequency, so I looked it up to be certain. It's 3220 now off the air. Contrary to information last week, not yet on the air is the new German service of the Voice of Vietnam. It did not start January 1st, but is supposed to start March 1st, as Eric Kuya heard them say on their English mailbag program. A very important meeting, at least to shortwave listeners, is taking place February 13th to 17th, though we may hear little about it. It's the semi-annual high-frequency coordinating conference, this time held on the island of Hainan in southern China. This is to coordinate shortwave scheduling, avoid collisions as much as possible during the upcoming A06 season, which begins at the end of March. It's held in a different country every time, and I think HFCC has been trying to get China to host one of these, even though we know that China is the major supplier of shortwave jamming. hardly in accordance with the spirit of HFCC, if I dare say so. It is quite a distance from the U.S., and representing U.S. interests will be George Ross and Jeff Lecourieux of KTWR in relatively close Guam. Also, Glenn Tapley of WEWN plan to attend, according to the NASB newsletter. On Hardcore DX, Harold Kuhl says, concerning this meeting, every shortwave listener interested in separate bands for AM and DRM should tell them now at info@hfcc.org. They know about the interference problem DRM causes on the shortwave broadcasting bands and need a little help from us to find a quick solution. However, I gather they're not disposed to make any changes as long as the interference is to transmissions not directed to your own target area. More news this week about an English language program on a domestic Chinese service. This one is on Voice of the Strait, called Focus on China. It had been scheduled Saturdays and Sundays at 14:30 to 15 UT on 4940. However, Ron Howard in California observes that it has been missing almost a year now, last heard in March 2005. The frequencies listed on the website are 6115, 7280, and 11590, among others. But now Ron Howard has heard from someone at the program saying they are supposedly back on the air after their spring festival holiday. Mano Ritola points out there may be confusion about the timing. Is it really now at 14:30 UT, or is that local time, in which case it would be 06:30 UT? Mano Ritola in Finland also reports once again to DX Listening Digest, the only shortwave broadcasting frequency from Afghanistan. But it's tentative since he did not get a clear ID for Radio Peace on 9345, 12:30 to 14 UT, February 7th. Good signal at times, but they are irregular. The signal suggests an improvement in transmitter facility. There's also a 15-minute news bulletin now at 12:30, and they have used two other frequencies, all irregularly, and he says only two of them simultaneously, 9325 and 9365 being the others. WRN has started a new DRM service on shortwave via Bulgaria to Europe. It's to be 24/7 on the following schedule: 06 to 08 UT 11545, 08 to 16 15735, 16 to 18 11535, and 18 to 06 5760. Initially, it's carrying the WRN English service for Europe, but will shortly carry other content as well, and may not be in full operation just yet. Kai Ludwig points out this is the Kostinbrod transmitter site near Sofia, Bulgaria. Radio Slovakia International has not been saying much in English about its own fate, but they have in Spanish. Thanks to Jose Miguel Romero for monitoring, so I translate what he heard. As announced on the Letters from Listeners program on RSI, shortwave broadcasts will continue during 2006, following approval by the government of the necessary appropriation. Thus, the threat of closure has been put off during this year. Andres Bernate, in answering several letters from listeners, said Spanish shortwave transmissions would continue following approval of a considerable sum which guaranteed continuation of the shortwave service and lessened the possibility of transmitting only on Internet. He thanked listeners for the great quantity of letters protesting the possible closure. Kari Helopaltio in Finland asked me about some unidentified stations he's heard on the 90-meter band. On 3330 Western Songs, deep fades peaking around 14 UT. Jari Savolainen, also in Finland, says this is often heard. It's the fifth harmonic of Lithuania's transmitter on 666 kilohertz. Another an ID on 3360 may be a pirate. Also heard in the daytime between 13 and 14. Thanks to Mike Terry and Steve Witt, we have news about another transmission from the very low frequency station with the Alexanderson alternator in Sweden, SAQ. They say we've received requests, especially from the U.S., to transmit during the winter, so we will have transmissions on Sunday, February 19th at 0900 and at 1300 UT. They will start with a short message followed by a VVVDESAQ for at least 30 minutes each time to make it possible to adjust receiving sets and antennas. More about this at the website www.alexander.n.se. This is the historic site at Grimeton in Sweden, erected in 1922-24. It has six impressive steel towers and an Alexanderson alternator, a crucial step in the evolution of modern wireless communication. What's the frequency, Glenn? 17.2 kilohertz. It's in CW, not SparkGap, SAQ. David Alpert forwards news from Alan Jones, PA industrial correspondent. Hundreds of BBC radio production staff are to strike on February 15th and 23rd in protest at jobs being merged. Their union, Bechtu, has announced the walkout by around 500 workers will hit radio programs including Radio 1 and Radio 4. We now have some monitoring reports of the new Algerian relays via the UK we gave the schedule for last week. Christian Gibaudot in Nice, France, says on February 2nd he had perfect reception of RTA Algeria in French at 07 on 9735 and 12020, and even better at 08 on 13750. Eike Bierwert in Germany said, good reception on 5985 at 2040, and RIDE not closed down until 5 minutes later on the same frequency. Bernie O'Shea in Ottawa, Ontario, was able to hear it too as early as 1914 on 5985 with a call to prayer in Arabic. And after 2000, the parallel frequency, 7105, was very strong, but with ham QRM. 7105 continued past 2100 in Arabic, but there was a program of Western classical music, and at 2135 an Arabic melody, until it went off at 2200. Last week, we reported about a new Libyan clandestine on shortwave, Saud al-Amel, on 17660 between 12 and 14 UT, and soon hit by jamming. Our correspondents have been monitoring this heavily every day, and I can only attempt to summarize the results. First problem is that there's already another station on 17660, but only for half an hour, one day a week. That is Radio Waberi, which is for Somalia, Fridays at 1330 to 14 under the auspices of Radio Miami International. Jeff White soon became aware of this collision and tried to arrange for the Libyan clandestine to change frequency. And indeed they did, first 17665 and then to 17670, theoretically clearing 17660 for Radio Waberi. However, the jammers were not so quick to follow up on the new frequency. Furthermore, the jamming seems to be coming from at least two different transmitters with different kinds of programming. One is playing continuous, although with some long pauses, African highlife music, which usually covers up Saud al-Amel pretty well over here, don't know about in Libya. And the music is rather enjoyable, as a matter of fact. But it's been continuing after 1401 when, as far as we know, Saud al-Amel closes down. In fact, the music has been heard as late as 1600. Now, the other jammer does have some Arabic announcements referring to Libya, so apparently that is an outright Libyan jammer, although we suspect it may be actually transmitted from France. There is an additional complication. As long as Saud al-Amel is using 17670, it also runs into a leftover Cuban jammer against the Radio Marti. This is of the pulsing or bubble type. You may recall Radio Marti abandoned that frequency recently. It had been starting at 15 UT, but the Cuban jammer was already running earlier and still does, and I'm hearing it all day long, jamming nothing. Furthermore, by February 8th, Saud al-Amel, Voice of Hope, had moved up once again to 17680, as monitored by Tarek Zaidan in Egypt and Jose Miguel Romero in Spain. Over here, 17680 is blocked by a very strong signal from Voz Cristiana in Chile. However, in Europe, apparently that's not a problem. Who knows, they may keep stepping up the band. There are not too many stations I've noticed between 17700 and 17750. Meanwhile, Mauno Rito in Finland confirms hearing one of the new clandestine broadcasts, Voice of the Somali People, via Eritrea, Saturday, February 4th at 1730 on 7175 with a clear signal. Via kilohertz, megahertz, gigahertz, and not applicable, This is World of Radio number 1304. Our website, worldofradio.org, for much more information. And our address, WORADIO at yahoo.com, or P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, USA. Greetings to all our new DRM listeners via WRN Bulgaria, Saturdays at 09 UT on 15735. Our thanks this week for financial support via PayPal go to Mike Bew in Austin, Texas. Last week we had news of an upcoming cut of 90,000 transmitter hours per year to Voice of America shortwave broadcasts, leading some to the alarming headline, VOA is dead. However, that is a bit of an exaggeration so far, at least. It's such a huge operation that even cutting that much leaves a considerable amount of output. Kai Ludwig says it is an exaggeration from a global point of view, but Europe is already dead as a target area for VOA for some years. Ika Biervert says VOA is not so dead, but most transmissions have lost one, sometimes two frequencies. Least affected are African services, as well as Kurdish and Korean. Almost all IBB relay sites are involved in the cuts. Satellite TV specialist Mark Fahey in Australia says VOA continues as a satellite TV service. It would have to be the most hopeless international television broadcaster. DW, BBC, CCTV China, ABC Asia Pacific all make VOA television look like B-grade crap. In DX Listening Digest, we have details of all the cuts and the new frequency schedules for all the languages. Wolfgang Büschel in BCDX summarizes it as follows. IBB is deleting VOA programs by 104 hours, by RFE 86 hours, RFA 17 hours, OCB Marti 32 hours. Also, most of the transmissions, many of them Radio Free Asia via the Tinian Marianas site, have been cut from 500 to 250 kilowatts. Kai Ludwig says in light of these cuts, it's unlikely the Biblis relay site in Germany will stay on the air. I've had a close look at the new Radio Marti schedule, and I think it's typical of some other languages. There had been always exactly four shortwave frequencies on the air at any given time, no more and no less. Now the maximum is three, and in the overnight period from 05 to 11, there are only two. However, in the case of jammed services such as Marti, it is not advisable to reduce the number of frequencies. This allows the existing jammers to gang up even more so against the remaining frequencies. But that's not all. A further development as of February 6th from a VOA source, death of VOA English accelerating. This appears to effectively announce the impending end of VOA broadcasts in English, although it remains unclear exactly what VOA English broadcasting will consist of on the road to the end. This has wide implications also for the decades-old VOA news operation. For example, will the reporting of VOA correspondence be aimed exclusively for the consumption of remaining VOA language broadcast services? Will the reporting that does continue to flow from correspondence be dumbed down to adjust to assumptions made about the ability of people in target areas to absorb it? The wider questions continue to be asked, why is VOA broadcasting in English being destroyed using the war on terror as the excuse? These comments stem from a message from the Board of Governors on the budget request for fiscal 2007, which among other things says, the budget projects elimination of News Now English radio broadcasting in FY07. But special English and English to Africa will not be affected by the cuts, and VOA's popular internet site will become the major English outlet for our worldwide news-gathering operation. Now, many other languages are being reduced or dropped. However, Kim Elliott points out, all this is tentative. There may be significant changes to the plans by the time October 1st arrives. Kim Elliott also tells us, the day after the frequency changes, I helped VOA News Now write new frequency announcements. In gratitude, it was proposed that I voice those frequency announcements. That request was denied. Kim says, I am still banned from being heard on VOA. Not yet banned is Martin Schramm, who participated in a regular VOA roundtable discussion program. He wrote an editorial for the Scripps Howard News Service headlined, VOA is DOA in Bush Budget. Finally, Kai Ludwig also wonders if VOA music mix will also be terminated. It does not seem to have been mentioned. On the domestic radio scene, another oldies radio station bites the dust. Scott Feibisch reports in ABDX and in his Northeast Radio Watch, WWKB 1520 in Buffalo changes format. So much for the oldies after 3 years and 1 week. It flipped to progressive talk on February 6th. That means two liberal talkers in Buffalo, because Intercom is doing the same on WHLD 1520. That one apparently will be Air America, but other progressive talk on WWKB. Bob Smoke in South Carolina says if anyone needs a good fix of music from yesteryear on AM, those who can should try the Sunday Night Hall of Fame from WPTF 680 in Raleigh. I like to pull out my AM tube portables, now stuffed with 9-volt batteries in series, and pretend I've gone back in time to the 50s. Barring athletic events, the show is on Sunday nights from 8:05 to midnight Eastern. On the NRC AM list, Mark Connolly in Massachusetts has a tip for those who would like to pick up a station from New Hampshire. WKBR is off frequency, supposed to be on 1250, but has been running on 1249.5. If you can split it away from the interference, this should be an easy way to log New Hampshire. And a special DX test is coming up from Maine, according to coordinator Les Rayburn. It's WJTO 730 in Bath, Maine, early Sunday, February 12th, from midnight to 1 Eastern, or 05 to 06 UT. It'll be running 1 kilowatt, non-directional, with Morse code IDs, sweep tones, and voice IDs. Reports should preferably be sent by email, and put WJTO DX test in subject to jibgui at aol.com. Recordings are not needed. Or if you don't use email, it's WJTO Radio 730, P.O. Box 308, BATH-ME 04530. Getting back to serious budget matters, public broadcasters may have another federal funding crisis on their hands. Acting President Bush's $2.77 trillion budget for 2007 cuts CPB's appropriation from $400 to $346 million, and includes none of the $65 mega public broadcasters requested for digital transition and satellite system funding, according to a press release from CPB. On its website, the Association of Public TV Stations says rather than embrace the overwhelming bipartisan majority who supported public broadcasting a few months ago, the administration is charging ahead in laying the foundation for the elimination of public broadcasting in America. Thanks to Michael McCarty for another obituary. Al Lewis, who played Grandpa Munster on TV's The Munsters, has died, but he also hosted a show on Pacifica's WBAI in New York and was interviewed on Democracy Now! Another major story on the domestic broadcasting scene is what's becoming of the ABC radio network. A buyer has finally been found by Disney. It is the Citadel Broadcasting Group, which will take over 22 ABC radio stations and the network for $2.7 jaga-dollars. That's according to an AP story via Russ Edmonds. The deal does not include ESPN and the Radio Disney Network. It gives Citadel 177 FM stations and 66 AM in the country's top markets, making it the nation's third largest radio group. Turned out it did not take long for the Cuban jammers to find the new frequency of Radio Republica via the UK 7205 between midnight and 2 UT. However, Julian Santiago Diaz de Bonilla in Mexico complains that the old frequency 6010 is still being jammed and thus interfering with his station Radio Mil. I believe we finally pinned down the exact transmitter site for the Radio Republica transmissions. Between 22 and 04 UT, 2 hours each on 6135, 7205 now, and finally 7110. I asked members of the World DX Club in the UK to compare the signal strength with their location. And in the February issue of Contact, we have some results. Chris Evans says 6135 is a strong, steady signal here in Crewkerne, Somerset, 8 miles west of Rampisham. Mike Barraclough says in Letchworth, it is weak and often barely audible. Mike Terry in Burnmouth, about 30 miles east of Rampisham, says the signal is all fours and just a slight flutter, so it looks likely that the site is Rampisham and not Wooferton as earlier thought. By the way, we're still waiting for the reactivation of Radio Universidad in Mexico City on 9600, although Julian Santiago hints it may be imminent. Meanwhile, Cuba is also blocking that frequency, heard at another time by Wolfgang Guschel at 0130. Meanwhile, another Mexican shortwave station has reappeared. It had been inactive for a few months, XEXQ, Radio Universidad in San Luis Potosí, on 6045, first reported Saturday afternoon, February 4th, by Julian Santiago at 2030 UT. And he also heard it the next morning from 1330 UT. I usually have better luck in the mornings, but the signal is still quite weak. Also, more loggings of Mexican clandestine Radio Insurgente. Julian Santiago heard it again on Friday, February 3rd at 2040 on 6,000 kHz. And Dave Vaughan, Pennsylvania, reports to Clandestine Radio Watch. He believes he was also hearing it, although at his location there was interference from the Voice of Russia. And news about yet another Mexican shortwave station from Julian Santiago Diaz de Bonilla, XERTA 4810. They've been off the air for quite a while, since the beginning of December. That was because they moved their antenna from the Ajusco volcano to downtown Mexico City next to their studios. He says an absurd move. They didn't get good results there. They're moving it again to another mountain on the other side of Mexico City. And XETRA on 690 near San Diego has finally made the move to become a real Mexican station under Spanish programming ownership. It's now with the W Radio Network. Arnaldo Slyan, Hardcore DX, reports that Alfredo Cagnotti in Peru has heard a new station there. It varies 6060.8 to 6061.2, Radio Sinai, S-I-N-A-I, in Huánuco. On the Radio Escutas list, Rogildo Aragao in Bolivia has been hearing that new station in his country, Radio Cooperativa, 5983.7 at 1120 and also at 1758. Still no actual logs of the new Bolivian we've been reporting, Radio Logos on 6165. Henry Clements says, be patient. It's probably their vertical antenna. They may switch to a more suitable DX antenna like other stations have. Celio Romais in Brazil reports that Radio Capixaba, the only station in Espírito Santo state, has reactivated on 4935, heard at 2200. Remember to check for the latest news on the Peter the First de-expedition, www.peterone.com. Propagation outlook from Boulder, issued February 7th. Solar activity, very low to low. Geomagnetic field, quiet to minor storm levels. ANK indices peaking at 12 and 3, February 12th, 20 and 4 on the 22nd. In between, down to 5 and 2. Solar flux rising from 75, February 8th, to 85 on the 12th, through 24th, down to 75 again by March 1st. Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio 1304.